Blog Talk Radio.
Here on November 21st, 2012. And I want to tell you something. I got blocked on Facebook this week. It's not the first time either. This time, though, it was by a life coach or a career coach, some kind of coach. I don't know the guy. Here's what happened. I don't know him, but he started appearing all of a sudden in my newsfeed. I guess he wanted to be my friend, and I said, okay. So the first thing I saw posting by him that said, great people abhor mediocrity. So I said, only if they don't recognize that most people are mediocre. Excuse me. Most people are mediocre. And if the great man can tolerate that, he isn't very great, is he? He's a big baby. He has to have everything his own way. So anyway, then the next message, this coach said, you can be great. You can be anything you want. And I said, can I be Warren Buffett? No. No, I can't. I can learn to feel great, but that's about it. You see, I have a level head. This guy doesn't. So then he posted a video from Apple. It was a TV ad from 1997 called Here's to the Crazy Ones. And on TV, it was narrated by Richard Dreyfuss, whatever. Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss. But this was Steve Jobs himself doing it, and it went like this. I'm sorry I didn't set it up so I could play it for you. He says, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. And all the time you see pictures going by of Einstein and Bob Dylan and John Lennon. And I said, hey, what's so crazy about those guys? Bob Dylan decided to be a musician during the folk music boom. John Lennon decided to be a musician when rock and roll was hot. They're not crazy. They're just successful. Well, the coach didn't like that. He said, hey, you always see the negative, animal. And when I tried to reply, Facebook wouldn't let me. He cut me off. And this guy's problem, I'm going to tell you what it is. He has to erect a vision of success that justifies probably himself, his own aspirations, but surely his business. Yeah, because he wants to tell his client, hey, you're a loser, but that just means you're great. You're a loser, but that's no obstacle to success. That's money in the bank for him. If he can tell some lost soul he can be Warren Buffett if he only tries hard enough. Yeah, but the truth is very simple. You're never going to be Warren Buffett. You're never going to be Bob Dylan or John Lennon or Ted Turner or any of those other people he's got in that video. But you know what? Here's the good news. You can be happy with a more modest success. Yes, you can probably be a lot happier than all those other guys in the video because they're not crazy, but they never seem very happy to me and Jerry. Jerry! What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! Before we start, can I make a quick statement?
Now, I got to tell you, those people who are following this coach, they're never going to be even as great as Jerry. They're good, no coffee. They're not going to be as great as Jerry. So Jerry is off for Thanksgiving. That was a tape. But Jerry is off. He's cooking for the American Thanksgiving. I want to pay a little tribute to him, a little Thanksgiving tribute. A lot of people, hey, turn off your mic if you're going to cough, okay? A lot of people in the recruitosphere give thanks for Jerry Albright. You might not know it, but Jerry shares a portion of every business day helping recruiters with every topic under the sun. He doesn't know those people. out. They see his name on recruitingblogs.com.
Right here.
Twitter. They see him on Facebook. They get in touch with him. You know what? He helps them any way he can. Hey. So thank you, Jerry. Mike, you haven't learned the channel yet?
I can hear you through all the noise there, Animal.
It's like you're driving on a highway with the window open and your phone, and that's how you called in. Is that how you want to replace Jerry?
Actually, I'm sitting at my desk, so that's not me making that noise.
Who's in their car? Lots of guests, I hope. Thaddeus M. Big Lock, are you here?
I am here.
Okay, great. You sound a lot like Mike. I won't be able to tell you apart. Anyway, you know, on Twitter...
Except that I'm good looking.
On Twitter, Thaddeus is at @T_fig. T_fig. Everybody, though, yesterday on Facebook from the show wanted to call him Figgy, so maybe we'll call him that. So, Figgy, tell us, this Thaddeus M. Figlock, what's with that name? Everybody remarks on it. Has it ever caused you problems?
Well, it has. It's more caused problems for a cousin of mine. My grandfather, father, myself, and I have a son, have all the same name, Thaddeus Figlock, different middle names. But my cousin wrote a biography about my dad, Thaddeus A. Figlock, M.D., and he was in Vietnam, amateur radio, wrote a biography. And when she turned it in, her teacher gave her an F in front of the whole class, saying, "How dare you use such an obviously made-up name and made-up biography?" And she embarrassed her. And yet, it's a real name, real person, and it's a family name.
That teacher was an expert, just like that coach. We love experts on this show. Stupid jerk. Okay. What do you think of this name? I'm going to read you a line I read in the paper yesterday. "I didn't know what to think," testified Swastika Jacaran, 20, wiping tears from her eyes. You know, she's obviously an Indian immigrant to Canada, or maybe she was born here. And I know that Indians use the swastika in their religious ceremonies. I have an Indian friend. He did a major renovation of his house. I went there for the celebration. And what do I see on the doorstep? A swastika. I mean, like, I was shocked. So swastikas are part of their life. But you know what? If you're going to live in Canada, with all due respect, maybe you want to change your name, swastika? What's the point? Anybody agree with me about that?
You betcha.
Yeah.
Can we move on to the deep stuff?
No, I want to say a couple of more things. There's some people I've encountered recently from Latvia and Finland on Twitter, and they've got names that no Anglophone can recognize very easily or learn to pronounce. Stop it! And definitely remember, I'm going to have to cut everybody off, okay? So these guys are writing in English. They want to talk to us. Why not pick a simple name? You don't have to use your real name, Carolina Uniati or Silva Rutaluti. No, that's wrong. Don't do it. But, you know, when I advise some of them, they resist. They don't like it. Anyway, so my good friend Thaddeus M. Figlock, T-Fig Figgy, he's here because he's looking for a job, but he's got a special problem. So before we talk about anything else, I want to say why he's not in his last job. You want to tell us that story, Figgy?
I definitely will. Okay. I was working one evening. I was working at a big box improvement store as a department supervisor.
You want to tell us the story? You don't have to, but everybody.
Yeah,
can
I definitely want to tell the story.
You want to tell us what store? One of the famous big box stores, and your title was department manager. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
So a gentleman was throwing trash out in the store compactor.
Throwing trash out? Your phone's not that great. He was throwing out garbage?
He was throwing garbage out.
What's wrong with your phone? What kind of phone are you on?
I'm sorry. I was originally in a cab when I had the call because I had an appointment that ran late. So let me grab and I'll switch to a regular landline.
Is your phone in now? Okay, call back and tell me when you're on. Mike, do you want to say anything? Want to keep us amused while we're waiting for Figgy?
Well, so my initial thought when you were talking about being mediocre was that we really needed to preface that with a statement that all of us are mediocre, with the exception of Jerry Albright.
Yeah. Well, I paid tribute to Jerry Albright. He's not mediocre. Who could shout like that? Nobody.
The second thing I think that we should definitely dig into here, Animal, is I'm looking at Figgy's resume, which he finally sent me yesterday.
Everybody, you can access Figgy's resume right from my site, and you can blow it up to the full screen as well. Okay, go ahead.
So he markets himself as a human resources manager, but I don't see any HR experience on his resume.
You're right. I thought he was in HR. He's not in HR for 10 years.
The resume I have doesn't even go back that far. So, you know, we should definitely address how he expects to make his transition from flooring supervisor at Home Depot to director of HR.
We'll get to that. First, he's got to tell you a bigger problem. Figgy, is that you? You're back?
That's me.
Okay, great. You're getting Figgy with it. Go, shoot. Tell us that story.
All right, this gentleman threw out trash in a compactor. His ring came off and went into the compactor.
Ring. His ring. You've got an accent. You're from Boston, right?
You betcha. I'm a Boston person.
Okay, his ring.
You like apples?
No, I'm in Taunton, actually, between Boston and Providence.
Okay, so the ring. Let's get to the story now.
So an expensive ring. He's been married 16 years. Came off. He was devastated. He was very upset. He's a worker who's had health issues. So he came to me, and I tethered myself to a lift machine and very carefully checked the chute of the compactor to see if that ring could be salvaged.
Hold on a second. Is this like a big dumpster, and you lowered yourself from a crane into the pit? Is that what happened?
No, there's a dumpster, but the dumpster has a chute between it. You open a door on the wall, and there's a chute for like 12 feet, and then so it's at an angle. But I didn't get into a dumpster. I was in that entrance chute.
Yeah, how dangerous is that? How dangerous is that?
Well, if you actually get into the compactor and someone turns on the button, you can get squished.
Okay. Will
you let Matlock speak, please?
Okay. Go ahead.
But I made sure that I was in control. I was tethered so that I couldn't get to the compactor. If I slipped and fell, I wouldn't have gone in.
Okay.
And I looked for his ring.
Yeah.
I had a manager stop me and pull me out and said no. He contacted loss prevention to see if there was a way they would approve someone looking for the ring, and they said no and decided to look at the video, and they fired me for a safety violation.
Okay. Now, what do you think? Did you do the right thing or the wrong thing?
I was being careful. I took every precaution to make sure nothing would happen with that, and I took care of the associate.
But you didn't find the ring, right?
I did not. I was stopped from
okay.
looking.
You got a good heart, but what do other people think about this? And how is he going to deal with that when they ask him why he's not in his last job anymore in an interview?
I hope he doesn't tell that story.
Really? You don't think he should tell the truth?
I think he should definitely tell the truth, but maybe tell it in
hey,
a better way.
Mike, let me teach you something. You want to talk into the phone?
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, hold on.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Anybody else got a comment? I mean, that was pretty dangerous looking. It sounds like you took enough precautions. Did they give you a chance to argue your case before a tribunal or anything like that?
No.
They just fired you. Did you go to a lawyer?
I did not go to a lawyer. I did call the employee assistance line they have, the associates counsel, and I did plead my case through a number of managers, but to no avail.
Okay.
I don't understand the problem here. Isn't Sam's Club hiring?
Isn't what? I mean, Mike, if you would, you know, if you want to replace Jerry, get on a good phone, okay?
I'm sorry, Adam. I'm on a cell phone. I said, isn't Sam's Club hiring? What's the problem here?
Are you serious? Is that like a suitable replacement? Walmart?
Well, there's not a Sam's Club in my area, but I am applying to BJ's Wholesale Club and
okay,
a variety of
locations.
Okay,
let's get to that. I just want to find out how to deal with this problem. I've never heard of anything like it before. My take on it right away is that you have to stress that you didn't stress it to us, but you have to stress right from the start. I said, you know, this is a dangerous situation, and that shoot, I recognized it, but I took every precaution that I would not be in danger, and I went looking for the ring. A manager came by. He didn't understand the situation. I can understand it looked very dangerous to him, and they didn't give me a chance to explain the precautions I took. I could not have been harmed. I'm surprised that you didn't go to a lawyer, and I'm surprised they fired you in such a summary fashion after 10 years with the company. Was that your boss who fired you or some other manager?
Well, it came from above. The boss sent it to this associate's counsel office, and they reviewed it, and they made the judgment, and my boss sort of like Pontius Pilate washed her hands from it.
Well, Figgy, what judgment would you have made as an HR director if one of your employees went down something equivalent to like a shredder, a human shredder, and put your whole company at liability? What would you, as an HR director, do?
Well, there is a tag out procedure, and if the safety procedures were followed, I would make sure that was followed properly.
No, but what if he hadn't informed you prior to him doing this, and he went ahead and did it? What would you have done?
I still would have reviewed the safety part of it. I understand it was dangerous, but with the precautions done, I would not fire someone for that.
Could anyone have on a switch and shredded you?
No, I made sure that the switch was unreachable and untouchable. That's partly why I used the lift machine to do this, so that blocked the switch from being opened.
You know, that's a more bizarre story than having, you know, sex in a broom closet. All I can say is that it really, just like Kathy's saying, it makes you look odd. You have to tell them right from the start that you took every precaution to make sure that you could not get hurt. Someone could turn on the machine and you wouldn't have got hurt, but you made sure that nobody could turn on the machine. So you want to make sure the people understand that, then explain. However, an outsider looking at me, you know, it would seem dangerous. And you think the company made a mistake by, you know, such a summary method of dealing with it after 10 years of were you a good employee?
I was a very good employee.
Okay, so let's move on from that.
Animal, this is Karen, a resume strategy.
Okay.
If you had the same situation again, would you do it again?
With this fallout, no, I wouldn't.
Okay, and knowing that, what would you do differently?
Well, I would have approached the manager in loss prevention and made as strong a case as possible. In the Home Depot where I worked, I don't believe with any precaution they would have let anyone do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would question if it was a customer's ring, they probably would have bent their backwards, but it was an employee. And when they talk about the right thing is to take care of the associates and to do the right thing, and that was ever as much a right thing as anything else.
when if you're taking this story into an employer, you're never going to be able to sell it as I did the right thing and the employer was wrong. The only thing that you're going to be able to do is here's what I did, here's what I should have done in retrospect, here's what I've learned, and that's here's how I would handle it differently in the future. That's the only way you're going to be able to walk out of this with a win.
Yep.
And I really think you should give up this story and go to the sex in the broom closet.
I agree.
If you have a good sex in the broom closet story, for sure.
Okay. That's the great resume strategy on Twitter. She was kind enough to call in to help Figgy here. I don't know if she gave him any advice. She told him he made a big mistake and he has to sort of come with his tail between his legs. Is that right?
It doesn't matter whether he thinks it's a mistake. Any employer is going to say this guy doesn't take safety seriously, and he has to walk in saying, I take it seriously. I knew what I did. Now I recognize what I should have done. Here's what I would do. It was my learning experience. It was a growth experience.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's what I'd like to know. Has he interviewed for any other jobs and told this story? And if so, what was the reaction?
Good question.
I've interviewed with one company. They took my explanation very well, but it is also a company that works with Home Depot, and they understood that what Home Depot had to do, but they understood I was taking care of the customer. I mean, I was taking care of the employee. So that didn't make a difference.
It might not make a difference to what they say, but
Let's leave this. Thank you, Karen. Don't hang up. Now, Mike Astringer's got a big question. I think it's a fair one. Mike, you want to shoot about the resume?
So, Figgy, I looked at your resume yesterday when you sent it to me yesterday afternoon, and you're marketing yourself. The first words on your resume beyond your name and address is human resources management, but I see absolutely no human resources management on your resume. So how do you intend, and I guess why do you intend, on trying to make that transition, particularly at a time when you've been fired from a job and you need to get back to work?
Well, I do have exempt experience with positions doing more than 50% of human resources functions. Though I didn't have the human resource hat, I've done the onboarding, interviewing, selecting. I've done the training and orientation. I believe from my experience that the taking care of people process and taking care of the people in the company is the best way that I can help achieve productivity and achieve results. It's not the inventory. It's not the merchandise. It's the people. I have experience as a manager on the floor dealing with associates. Excuse me?
I don't know what that is. Just ignore it.
Okay. I have experience in performance management. I see a lot of people try to do human resources just because they're warm and fuzzy people. I believe I understand management. I understand how management needs to be supported. I also understand how people need to be developed.
Yeah, I'm with Mike. What about the resume strategy? You write resumes. Look at his resume. First of all, let me just move to the side. You've got diamonds between everything in your address. You got at least on my version. Does everybody else see diamonds as well?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Take those out! What are they there for? Resume strategy. Do you agree with those diamonds?
Not even going to talk diamonds. The formatting is completely kind of beside the point. You started writing your resume before you really defined what your target market is and what the messages are that you're bringing to the table.
Okay,
you have
before
to
we get to the resume.
Animal, stop!
He's not in HR, right?
Stop.
What would you say? He's not in HR.
He wants to transition into HR, and so he has to make that clear. What he has to define is what is he really good at from an HR point of view because he's got this field and operations experience.
Okay,
what kind of problems is he uniquely able to solve? What's he
going
to be able that he can do from on the ground?
Hey, what was his last job?
I don't know. I can't tell because he's got two different profiles, one on his resume and one on his LinkedIn profile. And that's another issue. They have to match.
Also, he's got a spelling mistake on his LinkedIn profile. Experience is a typo.
Yeah.
You got to correct that, okay? But ask him what he did. You ask him. Resume strategy. Ask him what his recent job was.
You ask him what his recent job is. It's not me. It doesn't matter. Animal, it doesn't matter. What the problem is he hasn't defined what his target is.
No, no. What matters for a recruiter is what he was just doing. He was a department manager. It sounds like, you know, at Canadian Tire, we got a big box store called Canadian Tire, and they divide the whole store into aisles. So your sales rep, one of those guys, is in charge of an aisle. So department supervisor, for me, that means you're probably in charge of all the aisles that are for automotive or kitchenware or something like that. Is that what you were doing?
I was in charge of different departments, from millwork to paint to plumbing. But I also had dotted line experience. I had to be responsible for overall lead generation. I had to be responsible for different initiatives with the store in the community.
But I wasn't
dealing with two people.
If Figgy, if what you're doing is trying to break into HR, then all of the information under a department supervisor has to pertain to people that you were involved in recruiting, screening, onboarding, performance management, and so on. Everything that you describe in there has to be built around the HR-related positions. And it's not that you're trying to lie or to stretch. It's that you're presenting yourself as a good candidate to transition into an HR role. But it has to be on the basis of an organization. You need to be targeting organizations that are going to value that field and operations experience, and not all HR departments do. Some do, and you need to identify what kind of companies experiencing what kinds of problems are going to see you as a solution to their problem.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can anyone hear me? Can anyone hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm getting bad reviews already from Tom Bolt, a nice guy. And the show's a flop, but I got to tell you something. When I'm talking, you don't talk over me, okay?
Nobody's going to say anything if they don't talk over you, Animal.
Now, look, I want to tell you something. You've got a funny way of talking. I got to tell you, it's very distinctive. Has anyone ever remarked on that to you? It's very slow.
Are you talking to me?
Figgy.
Yep.
Yeah, you got a funny way of talking. Is that how people talk where you come from?
I'm a little bit different. I grew up in Fort Belvoir, Virginia. My dad was in the Army, so I've been exposed to different areas. I talk differently.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell you to pep it up. You sound like a friendly guy, but very distinct. Okay? Now, what did you do? Like, you know the way I described a department manager for the kitchen section? Was that your job? Was that your job?
No, the millwork section was my most recent one, but I would have to manage the performance of four associates. I'd have to review them. I'd have to coach them. I'd have to train them in both sales, lead generation, and millwork information. I would also be responsible with the rest of the department head team for the overall morale of the store, for their overall performance with inventory, with sales.
Yeah, okay, so... I didn't even hear what resume strategy said to you because I was shouting to try to get through to you. So is it true that you want to move into an HR job? You don't want to do a department manager job in a retail store anymore?
Correct. I would like to be an HR manager.
You know what? You know, career change, she didn't warn you, is very, very difficult. And I don't see how you're going to do it. What is it? What title do you want to go for? HR generalist?
HR generalist, field HR manager, district manager.
Is there any HR people called in here? I told Lori Rudiman she didn't have to call. That was a mistake because you want to be in HR. I'd love to hear what she would say about your resume. I don't know.
Animal, I hire a lot of HR people. And, you know, my comment to his job description is that any department manager or branch manager, bank manager, whoever, does exactly the same duties that he did that are HR related. So at the end of the day, I don't think being out of work, being recently fired from your job is the right time to try and make a career change. My advice would be go to work for a retail organization and try and work your way into HR that way. But I cannot see, no offense, but I can't see anybody hiring this guy directly into an HR role.
Does anybody on Twitter or on the line see potential for this guy in HR?
It's going to be a hard slog for him, and I agree. I think if he went through to another branch-type organization where they value that field experience, but express right at the beginning that what your interest is getting into these particular areas of HR. The other kind of organization where it might work is where they don't have their HR function centralized, which might be a smaller organization that's got a number of smaller branch plants.
You know what? If you go for a retail manager job and you say, but I really want to be in HR, you think they're going to hire you? No.
It depends on the organization. Some will, some won't. Any organization that's right now on expansion mode are going to value that field experience because they're going to look for somebody who can come in and help set up a store. And there's a big HR component as part of that. But it really is. What he has to do is sit down and start defining what is it that he's really good at, what problems is he good at solving, what kind of organizations and scenarios have those problems.
He thinks he knows what problems. Is Amy Alla on the line? She's, you know, on Twitter. Are you here? Alla Recruiter? Tom Bolt? Daryl Disco? Anybody got some good questions for this guy? I mean, like, I don't think I'd consider you for an HR job. If your resume came across my desk, no. I wouldn't consider you.
Now, as a department supervisor, there's one time I had managers telling me, you know, you'd be a fantastic HR manager. I asked them what the preparation would be. They said, be certified. So I went, I got my certification because I have the exempt experience. I studied the knowledge. I took the test. I passed that. They took that HR role out of the store. So we had a store manager. HR manager, they took it out of the store. So within the Home Depot, I didn't have that option.
Okay, now you're participating in some kind of insurance in an executive role. Is that correct in your region?
Yes, I'm part of both in a chapter and in the state, Massachusetts State Sherm. I'm on the workforce.
How
I'm
many
a
people
co-chair
do you know?
Of the workforce.
How many people do you know in Sherm? Just give me a number. 30, 50?
Probably 150.
Okay, and none of them can get you a lead to a job?
Well, unfortunately, the Sherm chapter I joined is away from my house. We don't have a local one, so I travel, and I've had opportunities brought to me, but the travel would be too extensive to get to work.
And nobody, you have no HR, 150 people, and no HR connections in the Taunton area. Is that what you're saying? Knowing those people, having that great network is not doing any good for you.
Well he wants to boost morale, right? I that's the only thing that I've heard HR related.
Performance management, coaching supervisors, the productivity of a store, if the supervisors aren't doing the right things in taking care of their people, then you're not going to achieve it. I can coach
Animal, I can wrap up this show at 12:32. We can make one statement and be done, and that's this. He said that his supervisors have told him that he should be in HR. Well, you know what? A lot of people told me that I'd be a better president than Obama, but I don't think I'm getting there.
Okay, come on. I pretty well – I've blown my questions already as well. Anybody else got some insight here they want to contribute? There's some few people just called in.
I've got a news update.
What's that?
There's been a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas just announced.
Well, that's good. Who's that?
Sounds like Jerry.
Anonymous.
Oh, it's Jerry, yeah.
It's Jerry.
Anonymous!
Jerry called in. Let me just do my Jerry impression for a moment. I'm the best recruiter in the world. All of you suck. Now you can go on, Animal.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
That was pretty good, though. Though I don't actually say it, Mike. I just prove it.
Okay.
There's a big difference. Big difference.
Jerry, do you have any tips for Figgy?
No, man. I just called him, but I hear he's trying to get into HR, and I would suggest that he doesn't get into HR. HR sucks.
You place HR people, Jerry.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I like the job. The job sucks.
Have you seen his resume?
I couldn't get to it yesterday in that long Facebook tussle.
Yeah.
I finally gave up.
Okay. Okay.
Is he an HR guy?
No, he's a department manager at a Home Depot.
Can he get into the HR department there? That's his best shot.
No, they fired him.
Yeah, he got fired.
Oh. Sorry, man.
He lowered himself into a compactor.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Okay. I don't know, Figgy. You know what? What about your this Dan Schwabel? he says the social resume paints a more detailed portrait of who you are as a person, and it can be easily shared. That's why it's superior to the traditional resume. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Strike a chord? Dan Schwabell?
Dan Schwabell rings a bell, but is it easier to share a whole bunch of stuff on the web versus hitting the send button on your resume? I mean, what could be easier than send me your damn resume?
Okay, well, I don't know. Am I at a dead end here? Anybody on Twitter?
My experience isn't just Home Depot. I have experience with BJ's Wholesale Club. I was a program coordinator across the New England states for an auto buying program. So I'm able to deal with all levels of store management, vendors, employees, to communicate. I have
When was that, Figgy? More than 10 years ago?
Yes, it was, because I've been at Home Depot for 10 years.
We're looking at the last 5 years. That's all that's relevant. Come on.
But I'm looking at
it. Which isn't defined by just my last 10 years.
Yeah, you're defined by your last 5 years or your last 3 years. Don't go back 20 years. You know what? The best suggestion I heard so far, I think, is resume strategy said you might be better off going to a small company where, you know, they don't have so many people and they'll let you wear a bunch of different hats. How about that? That sounds reasonable.
Figgy, how come you don't have the human resources consultant work on your resume?
Excuse me?
The stuff that you did at EAP Network.
I marketed EAP Network to businesses. It was a sort of close to an internship experience. So it wasn't a very detailed experience, but it was presenting the employee assistance to different companies.
But you've chosen to leave it off of your resume, and I'm curious why.
Well, because it was in compensation terms, it was very small, and when I had put that on applications and went to interviews, and they'd say, well, how much did you get at this position? It seemed like a pittance.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much ignored it a lot.
But you took it specifically to get practical experience, yeah?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So position it like that. Don't position it as a business development thing that you did. Position it as you gained practical experience in developing AAP solutions for companies. Describe the kinds of organizations that you targeted. What were the problems they were dealing with from an EAP? You can present this positively as experience rather than take it off altogether, because what's happening right now is I'm looking at your resume and I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile. I'm saying, holy heck, this guy's all over the map.
Not only that, look at the bottom, recognition. HR of his resume, the bottom of his resume, it says National HR Contest for that challenged individuals. You got to have somebody look over your resume. I mean, that's a grammar error or an editing problem. You had it written a different way, and when you changed it, you left some of the words in from your other version, your previous iteration. That's not good.
Listen, resume strategy does not say holy heck very often, so she meant that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have some advice.
Lot, everybody.
Go ahead,
Animal.
Kathy Mann.
Animal. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Figgy, let's move to the job hunting thing. How are you looking for jobs?
I am attending every networking event that I can. That would be both SHRM, the Mass Technology Leadership Council, their workforce development committee, attending at Microsoft NERD, all sorts of different networking events. I am...
What are you doing at those networking events?
I'm talking with companies such as Constant Contact and like businesses about HR opportunities, presenting myself.
Anything come of it? Or you want to describe one of your encounters there? Just tell us how it works.
Well, I was at a Mass Innovation Night the other week. I spoke to a young lady from Bullhorn Software. They are doing some hiring. I presented that I had
attended a unconference with Bill Borman at their software headquarters. I've discussed a few of the people we know in common. A couple have moved on from Bullhorn, and she asked me to send a resume, which I have just done.
You know what? I got to tell you, you got a lot of confidence. He strikes me. Does anybody else get the feeling he's got a lot of confidence? We're telling the guy, this is wrong. You're not in HR. And he's quite bold, and he believes in himself. Is that true?
Very true.
He also has some skills that he can market, but he's positioning himself completely wrong to try and break into an HR role. And particularly if he's trying to break into an HR generalist role, he's just not going to get there from here. He needs to plan out maybe a 2 or 3 step career move and figure out what's the most logical next step that's going to give him the best ROI on his job search. When you did your master's degree, did it include a capstone project?
It did. It included a thesis, which I had difficulty with a couple advisors. But after a time, they changed that to a capstone project. I created a basic training for big box supervisors, and I went to big box businesses and had managers evaluate the agenda and the training and use that as my project.
But you need to have that on your resume because that, again, is a practical experience that's going to distinguish you from other HR-type people. Right now I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile and you've got night maintenance at McDonald's. That shouldn't be in there at all. You should be doing that. You're a master's student in business working on this capstone project.
Night maintenance
exactly
at McDonald's?
That.
What did you put that in for? Come on!
I was applying for an HR job with McDonald's and I wanted to show that I worked there getting my master's degree while handling my job.
If you want to do that, then you put in master's student, you put in the school, and underneath funded it through part-time work at McDonald's. And you put that as part of the subject.
No, I don't get it. Also, okay, so you go up, you're going to these networking things. Here's what a recruiter does, okay? They look up all the companies in driving distance from Taunton that might possibly hire you. Then you go on LinkedIn. Or you go on some business directory you find at the library. They're very good. You'd be surprised. Go to the library. Get some names of the people who run the place and phone them up. You don't sound like a person who's afraid to be on the phone to me. Phone them up. My name is Thad Biglock. Yes, that's a real name, and I want to work for you. I've got 10 years' experience as a manager at Home Depot. I've got a master's degree. I'm very strong in human resources, and I'm oriented towards that as well as business management. Can we have a chat? Can you use somebody with my background? Does anybody agree that's the route he should be taking, that it would be more or just as fruitful as going to these meetings and chatting with people?
If you haven't already done it, you should have a list of 20 to 30 companies that you've targeted, that you've researched in detail, and that you can spell out, here's what I can do for them. And if you can't answer that to yourself and have that at top of mind, if you can't define what problems you're going to be able to help them solve, don't pick up the phone and call yet.
Okay, he's got to have a script. I'll agree. I'll agree with that. Oh, boy. I personally think you need a career coach. That's my.
I have a question, Animal.
Go ahead, Mike. How come you've been so quiet? I thought you were going to carry the show for me.
Because I can't get a damn word in edgewise.
Go ahead. It's all yours.
You mentioned this is what a recruiter would do. I'm curious if Fitty has been to a recruiter, and if so, what those recruiters may have told him about his desire to change into an HR career.
I've talked to some recruiters. I've had some encourage me. Some point out the fact that my background is so mixed that it's a tough sell. But I've had some say that, you know, you have the business skills, the business knowledge that HR needs today. So I've had encouragement.
Let me ask this question, Animal. Isn't Professional Staffing Group Jerry's company?
Yeah.
Professional search group, dickwad.
Yeah.
God, Jerry, I'm sorry. I was actually just going to mention that I've been on Indeed looking for work for Fitty here, and I saw an HR service center representative role at Professional Staffing Group, and I thought that was Jerry. I thought,
no,
you're getting it for Jerry.
Mike, I appreciate you looking out, but no, that is not me, and I'm sorry for calling you a dickwad. You're not.
And I figure Fitty is your normal caliber of candidate, so you'd want to work with him.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, I'm me neither. Figgy. Fig. T-Fig.
Yep.
Okay. Is there any chance that you'll make a list of companies, like Karen said, research them, and then write a presentation, a phone presentation, and start calling the managers? Is there any chance you might call? How many companies are in Taunton? How big is it?
Taunton has about 50,000 people. Taunton has some good companies. Johnson & Johnson, which I find an excellent company, but all the opportunities that I find and heard are upper level that I can't find where the mid entry level for me would be.
Reality Bite, you're not going to get into Johnson & Johnson. You're targeting too big of a company.
Absolutely.
I have put together a list of companies that have between 50 and 150 employees. That's going to be your sweet spot. They're the ones that are going to be most likely to hire somebody who needs both operations and HR experience because they can't afford a full-time HR role.
She's got
a
point.
Go ahead, Mike. And that's a very good point, but here's something else we haven't talked about, and I won't throw numbers out there, but I have a general idea what a department supervisor at Home Depot might make. Are you willing to take that pay cut to go into a very entry-level HR role based on your experience?
I didn't make a ton of money at Home Depot. One reason I probably don't have a career coach or someone, you know, professionally looking at my resume. I was not rolling in the money.
Okay.
I would think an entry HR role would be comparable to where I'm at, if not maybe better.
Why is that with a master's degree? I'm just curious.
Hmm?
Why is that with a master's degree? I'm just curious.
Why did I get a master's degree?
No. Why?
Why aren't you making more money?
I started the master's degree program a time ago. I finished it while I was at Home Depot. I had not found a way to transfer out of Home Depot into somewhere else.
Which
Home Depot doesn't value.
I got to stress, I think Karen Seawack is giving you some good advice. You have to get a list of 100 companies or start with 20 or 50. And you can call the big companies as well, but the focus is going to be on a smaller company that needs people who are versatile in their roles. And you have to find a way to talk to somebody on the phone and say, I have a lot of strength both as a retail manager and with a lot of HR functions as well. And I'm very active in the HR community. I'd like to do both functions if possible. The point is, you just got fired from your last job. You can't be that picky. So I don't know if this is the time for, saying that this is my ideal career move. You're going to have to kind of take what you get. Anybody agree with me about that?
You're probably at least 5 years away from moving into a pure HR role, and a particularly a pure HR management role.
And while I'm looking at Indeed.com, the Boston market in Boston is looking for a general manager.
Okay. Tom Bolt says Taunton is a train ride to Boston, which is a big market for networking. Is it a big market? Is it a train ride that's a commute for jobs or just to talk to HR and other type people?
Well, Tom doesn't have the train.
Calling to the show. I asked him. I said I need some help. But nobody wants to help me. Go ahead.
I think it's a great show. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, I'm getting stabbed in the back on Twitter. And I don't have anything much to say to this
you,
guy.
Can't be getting stabbed on the back because I'm not typing anything.
But, you know, that comes from Kathy, who thinks that you just put a fake guest up today and none of this is even real.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing, T-Fig. Are you going to do what we advised? And I'll go over your resume myself and point out the typos. And I got to tell you something, and I got a resume expert on the line. I never like formatted resumes because when they open them up in their own computers, you never know how the registration is going to work out. Am I right about that, resume strategy?
Yeah, any of the bullet things? Nobody's eye should be drawn to the bullets.
Okay.
Are you going to the library and going to make a list of companies in your neighborhood?
I definitely will be doing that.
Go to the library. Go to your local chamber of commerce because they're going to have a membership
list. He's a member.
As well.
He's a member. This guy is
They're going to have a membership list. Also have a look and see any local chapters of business associations and find out what their chapter memberships are. There's a lot that you can do to get a list of target companies, but you really have to – it's not just good enough to have a name. You really have to understand what business they're in and what challenges they're facing right now.
And I'm going to throw a free offer out there, Animal. If he wants to put together his list and put together his script, he can practice that on me. Keep calling me and calling me and calling me until it's right.
You got to tell you, that's a fantastic
yep.
offer. That is a fantastic offer. I don't believe he's going to follow through. I don't believe Mike is going to do that, but that's a great offer.
I will do that. As a matter of fact, there, T-Fig, my office is in Waltham. You can even come to my office and I'll role-play interview with you for an hour at my office.
Thank you very much.
Waltham, Massachusetts, is that close to Taunton?
I can get there.
What does that mean? I don't know anything about how far in miles is Taunton from Boston?
Like 30 miles. Taunton is right between
you
Providence and
Boston.
You can't work
in Boston 30 miles away?
Not on Home Depot income, no.
What do you mean?
Because commuting costs. That 30 miles is going to cost when you're not making a whole heck of a lot more than above minimum wage.
From one side of Toronto to the other is 30 miles. Don't people do that here?
Yeah, but it's all...
I commute from Philadelphia to Boston every week.
On Home Depot wages?
Is your wife working, Figgy? Or is that too personal to ask?
No, she's working. She's working generally 3 days a week as an allergy nurse.
Okay.
And she's traveling, like, to the Cape.
So she's commuting?
Yes.
Okay, but you don't want to?
If it's the right position, I definitely would. Transportation has been an issue. I have a son in college who's also working, and we share a car at this moment. So there's an issue, but if I can get the right job, I would be able to get a vehicle.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, there's a problem. You sound like a great guy to me. I just have to tell you, that's my take on you. At the same time, when people hear that you don't have enough cars in your family, they might say, what's wrong with this person? Am I right? Does anybody else say that this, you know, it's something that could be a problem?
Yeah, well, it just seems like he hasn't, you know, he does a awfully nice animal, and I feel terrible for him. But
don't feel bad for being mean on this show. He knew.
He's giving excuses right and left. I could not apply for a job as an HR manager and get it. And I've been in the business 15 years.
I got to tell you this.
I mean, does he even know what OSCCP is? Does he know any about?
Sure.
Okay. Tell me about it.
No, don't tell us about it now. Okay, I got listeners. You can give me your phone number, like Mike.
Yeah, and I double Mike's offer. I'll help him too, but you know I couldn't get the job.
Why are you always trying to upstage me, Kathy?
Because I love you.
Because it's easy.
Okay. Now you know there's a University of Toronto professor. He discovered a gene that predicts the time of your death. And I'm thinking, when everybody has their genes analyzed, you don't want an interviewer to get a look at it. What if your gene says you're going to die 6 months from now? He's never going to hire you, right?
Unless he wants you to do dumpster diving, in which case you were going to go in.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. He's got that problem. You gotta get that. When you call Mike, you have to practice also telling when Mike's going to say, how come you're, why'd you leave your last position? And you have to practice telling him that where you don't sound like a jerk, okay?
Sure.
Where you make yourself sound like a hero rather than a jerk.
No,
I take
insane.
Care of my...
He doesn't sound like a jerk. He's insane. I mean, who goes into a human trash compactor? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he can't present himself as a hero. He has to present himself as somebody who knows better now.
Yes.
But
oh
the problem
God.
Is he's presenting himself as someone who said very clearly, well, if it was a customer's ring, they would have done everything they could. I mean, that just is very confrontational and
you're right,
to that whole topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad, Figgy, I'm Thanksgiving today, that you're still alive, although I really believe that you were not in danger. It just looked like you were in danger, okay? So you've got a lot of things, but you're going to – how many companies are you going to make on that list, the first list you make? Following
25.
Okay, resume strategies advice. You're not just going to put big companies there. You're going to target the small to medium-sized companies, right?
Look for startups. Look for startup companies.
You know what? Startups, he's not going to – he doesn't have startup experience, so he's not going to – his value proposition isn't going to jump out of there.
Right. They
are
very
right. He needs
you're right.
Yeah, but see, I disagree with that advice because I disagree 100% with that advice because I work exclusively in the startup space, and those startups need more expertise than less expertise.
Okay,
that he
you're right.
Have that could be better hidden in a bigger department.
I'm wrong. I get it.
Okay. Anything else we have to tell Figgy? You know, do you want Figgy to stay on for the after show? That's what you were suggesting.
Yeah, and you know what? This is a great after show you guys teed me up for. Thanks a lot. I could see why Jerry didn't show up for this one.
Jerry's here, okay?
I showed up. I'm just here to audit.
He's auditing. Okay, he wants to learn some things from Mike. Okay, anything else for Figgy? Figgy, these guys are going to, I don't know why, but they're going to have you at the after show. Maybe they'll kick you off after a few minutes, and maybe they can tell you something else. Thanks for coming on. Happy Thanksgiving, America!
Good afternoon, everyone. Who's still with us besides T-Fig?
Karen, I'm still here.
I'm here.
Karen and Kevin.
I'm here, but I'm just listening.
And Jerry's
a lot
hiding.
Of people there. They're just not saying, okay?
Are we done with the music now?
Well, I just thought this pertained to him.
Well, you're taking up my time here. You get it? My time.
Okay, I'm done.
Are you still with us?
I'm still here.
So let me say first, and obviously this is a forum that, you know, we're all a little bit Howard Stern-ish, but I hope that you took the advice that particularly Karen gave. And I want to throw out a couple of things myself. I mean, personally, I'm in your position. I just got fired from my job. I need to go back to work. I might be targeting an HR organization where you can eventually move into HR, but get a job quickly in the area that you have some expertise in. I mean, there are many of us that hire HR people that really think it's going to be a difficult road for you. I think Animal gave you great advice to put together a list and target that list and start making some phone calls. I absolutely meant my offer. If you want to call me, my number is 800-378-0847, extension 805. Call me. I'll role play with you for an hour or so and get that tight. But at the end of the day, if you need to get back to work, I think you need to look at a retail organization, a large retail organization, where you can eventually move into that HR-type role. And my other advice, Karen is a resume writer, resume strategy is a resume writer, a very good resume writer. I have no idea what her prices are, but I'd be scrounging together a couple of dollars to have somebody like Karen take a good, serious look at your resume, because all the formatting stuff aside, I can look past the formatting stuff. When I first looked at your resume, I did not see HR. Based on your resume, you're not somebody I would hire into an HR role, and we do HR consulting here. So you really need to highlight some of the areas that you talked about that are not highlighted in your resume. So I highly suggest that you connect with Karen, scrape together a few bucks, and see what she charges for an HR, because I know
you're in tight financial straits. So what I'll do for you, I've got a copy of your resume. The feedback that I gave you now, I'll put into notes and send so that you can do it, and I'll have a look at what you come back with as a finished product once you've talked with Mike. Really, it is an issue around messaging, and you're going to need to have two versions of your resume, one that's targeting the HR-type roles, but one that's targeting department head in a retail environment. Different messages on the two documents.
The one hesitation I have about going back at a department head, within Home Depot,
what I was told if I wanted to get into HR once they took the role out of the store was that I would have to become an assistant manager, then a store manager, and then if I'm successful as being a store manager, then HR. Well, they're talking 4 years assistant manager, 4 years manager, and I don't want to be moving boxes around. And managers do more of that than taking care of their people.
So have a look.
Well,
if you don't want to be targeting kind of the box store, then look for other kinds of organizations that have that chain structure, that have
mm-hmm.
multiple offices. It could be financial
yep.
services. It could be an insurance. Like, there's a number of them, and that's part of the research that you have to do when you put your list of target companies together. Before
I don't want this to be an extension of Animal Show, so I want to cut this off.
Okay.
But
what
I do want to ask is this. We've all given you some advice today. I get the distinct impression that you are not going to follow our advice.
I do
too. No, I'm following up your advice. I promise you that.
Okay.
I am going to be in Waltham on Tuesday, but unfortunately I have to come back for something. But I'm going to be working on this.
You have my phone number. You call me when you can come to Waltham, and I'll sit down.
The 800-378, what was the rest of the number?
0847, extension 805.
Okay.
Now, hang up. You're not the focus of this, so goodbye.
All right.
So, Karen and Kathy, are we all that's left?
I'm on.
I'm still here taking notes.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Derek.
Mike.
I'm only in the observer.
Yes, Kathy.
You never offered to role play with me. Ever.
I would role play with you, Kathy, but it would be a way different kind of role play.
Well, you never offered.
All right, well, you want to role play? Give me a call, baby.
Okay.
So what do you guys think? I think that T-Fig's got some distinct challenges ahead of him. I don't think he's going to be able to successfully make the transition that he's looking to make at this point in time. I think that his story, there was that really defensive part of his story where he said, well, if it was a customer's ring, they would have dug for it. And I think his story's got some real challenges. What do you guys think?
Can I ask, what was the story? I didn't miss that. Why did he get fired? He dove into a dumpster?
To recover an employee's ring. To try and recover an employee's ring.
In a dumpster.
Yeah, in a trash compactor. Yeah. And he got fired for safety violation.
Yeah, somebody saw it and he got fired for a safety violation. But, Jerry, what you may have missed is that when he was telling the story, you know, there was that one line in the story where he said, well, if it was a customer's ring, they would have went looking for it. And that just came off as very defensive and dismissive of a safety policy at his company.
I don't get the sense that he's tied to that version of the story. That's just the version that he's been telling. I think he's actually open to, he's coachable on this.
Here's what I gathered. He's a guy that hasn't been in HR, and he's dead set on getting in HR. And what I heard Karen saying, or at least what stuck with me, is it's all about messaging, and his message is wrong. I don't care what your message is. If when you get to the interview, you're not qualified for the job, so I don't think it is messaging. I think he's got the wrong plan altogether.
What we had said, I don't know if you were there for that, is that he needs to be planning on doing probably a 2 or 3 stage career plan to get into a peer HR role. But his messaging, even to get to that whatever is the next logical position, isn't making sense right now.
No, it isn't. And what, Karen, what kind of bothered me, and Mike, I got the same sense, and I'm being serious now, is that it didn't seem like he wanted to work for it. I mean, he doesn't want to move the boxes. He doesn't necessarily want to make the drive. I mean, how is it going to happen for him?
I'm not saying I'm God's gift to the candidate community, but you know, I offered to take time out of my calendar to spend an hour with him in my office 30 miles from where he lives, and he's got excuses not to go.
I know. And that was awfully nice of you. I mean, both of you, you and Karen. Unbelievable.
Let me just add, he can stop by my office at any time also. So there's a third offer to help. You're not beating me on that, Mike.
You guys can shoot turkeys together.
We don't have
I thought
a
you were shooting raccoons. Aren't you shooting raccoons?
No. Trapping raccoons, shooting deer. Get your story straight.
Well, and let me just say also, Jerry, that, you know, thank you very much for picking the absolute worst show of the year with not much meat in it to let me take over the after show.
Dude, you got to know when to bail out.
We're bailing now. Let's get some scores. Kathy, what's your score?
The guest, oh, my gosh. Well, he was very entertaining. But, oh, my gosh. I can't even score him. I'm just sort of in shock.
There's the drama.
It is a
what
very strict
oh, sorry, after
show policy that you must give a score.
Okay, I give him a score of 30. And I give Animal a score of 80 because I really like the show.
And actually, I want to get to that in 1 second. Karen, what are your scores?
I'm actually going to give him a higher score because I'm not scoring him as a candidate. I'm scoring him as a guest. And even to put himself out there, being in the place that he is brave. So I'm going to give him a 75, and I'm going to give Animal an 80 because I actually think he asked good questions today.
How about you, Jerry?
I think the guest was surprisingly confident, which is you got to at least start with that. So I'm going to give him a 78. And Animal gets an 85. I thought he did a good job on the show. He had good questions. He even, you could tell, came up with a few questions that weren't on his list that he labors over for hours before the show. It's almost like he was having a real conversation.
He was good.
But Jerry.
Yep.
Go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry.
What?
That wasn't me. That
Jerry,
was
Jerry,
you.
Go
ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. So, Jerry, I was saying that you mentioned his confidence, but do you think that his overconfidence may be blinding his ability? That was the distinct impression I got.
People in middle age making a career switch, it's nearly impossible. I mean, I just unless you go to work for a relative or buy a franchise or come up with some entrepreneurial kind of thing, corporate America isn't going to hire somebody who's never worked in a job for that role, unless it's absolutely entry level. And then your competition are the people who just got out of college with their degree in that field. It's never going to happen. But I thought it was a kind
of. You're agreeing with my assessment that his overconfidence is blinding his ability.
Yes, but my score was just based on him as a guest.
Okay. Was somebody else trying to say something?
Yeah, it's Karen. I think it's possible to make the move that he does. People do it all the time. But I think he has to really sit down and map out what that strategy is going to look like. And he's not going to be able to do it just jumping into a role competing against somebody who's got pure HR experience. It's just not going to happen for him.
Is anybody else out there have scores? I guess there's no one else out there. You know,
man, that's a low turnout on the show, after show today.
It is. I guess they didn't get the word that I'd be hosting.
Maybe
Karen, you said something interesting about the way Animal handled the show, and as did Jerry. And you know what? I'm going to really give Animal props today because I really feel like he cared about this guy. He cared about helping this guy. He truly cared about us giving this guy some advice. I think Animal put his heart into today's show.
I do, too.
Yep. But you know what? He's always, when there's a job seeker on, that's when his kind of soft underbelly gets shown. Animal is always very protective of the guest then.
I just wish he would have, somehow gotten this guy to just bring his ego down a notch and listen to what I'm saying, to what we were all saying, because I think at the end of the day, Karen, you're going to help him, I'm going to sit down with him, whatever. I just don't think this guy's going to take his eye off a ball that just may be out of his reach right now.
I don't agree. I think he's coachable. And having worked with clients that are in that position, I think what you saw wasn't so much confidence as he's wounded and he's got a shield up. This guy's hurting from what he's gone through. You know, he's gone through the experience, put himself getting his master's degree. He's doing all of the networking and it's not paying off. And it's not that he's defensive. It's like, oh, God, what else do I have to do? and he's really stuck on that.
Jerry brought up another good point that I was thinking about as he was, as the guest was speaking, and that is middle age. So I don't know how old the guy is. I mean, he looks a little bit older than me, and I'm in my early 40s. Is middle age a tough time to make such a drastic career move, despite the fact that he feels like he's prepared? Is whatever the guy is, 45, whatever he might be, I mean, is that a tough time to try and make a career move like that?
No, I'm working with somebody right now who's 55 and is doing a career move, and it looks like it's going to work out for them. It's doable. It doesn't happen by accident.
Is it that drastic, though?
Yeah, it's hugely drastic. Like, it's a complete going from a lawyer to something else altogether, so it is completely drastic, which means that you have to know what the risks are. You really have to have calculated what that is and be realistic about the time frames and what the steps are going to be.
I met somebody a couple of weeks ago that's our age that went from being an attorney, and he had gone to law school because his father was a lawyer, and, you know, he sort of followed in the footsteps and hated it from day one. And in his mid-40s, he went back to school, and he became a school teacher. And my initial thought in that was, well, then you're sort of going for a trade. I mean, a school teacher is almost a trade in the perspective of that you go to school specifically for that trade. I just don't know if I don't know. I guess I still struggle with being able to make this kind of transition from being a department manager at Home Depot to being an HR manager somewhere, because I don't get the distinct impression that if I called this guy up and said, I've got an HR coordinator job, pays $35,000 a year, that he would take it.
I don't know if he could afford to take it, but you know what? An HR department manager doesn't make a whole lot more than that. They really don't. Home Depot doesn't pay great.
Did anybody ask him why he wants to get into HR? What makes him think he wants to be an HR guy?
He thinks he's qualified, Jerry, and I think this answers the question. He thinks he's qualified because of the things that he did as a department manager at Home Depot. And I tried to make the comparison that a bank manager or a branch manager at any company would do the same things, such as reviews and employee counseling and all those types of things. But I don't know that he truly fully understands what that job entails.
But it isn't just the Home Depot. He's been, when he was doing director of volunteers for the nursing home, that whole volunteer recruitment has an HR component. He had an HR focus when he was doing his master's degree. He went for the PHP. It's been part of a plan for a number of years. He's just been really lousy on the execution.
Well, you know what? I sit on the HR committee for a nonprofit, but that doesn't qualify me to be an HR manager.
Sure it does.
Who is that?
Alan.
Alan, you've been here all quiet. You're not going to give us scores?
No, I don't. I can't give scores. I was on a conference call. I came very late.
Okay.
Dude, that doesn't matter. You don't have to have listened to the show to give a score. Don't you know? We don't care.
Well, I think that the guy is beat up right now. I agree with Mike a little, and I agree with Karen a little. I think that the guy's in the shock still. He just left Home Depot for what he probably thinks is a BS reason. And so, but looking at his LinkedIn profile, he needs to have the fortitude that Mike said to step up and work with Karen, because his resume does not read at all like an HR person. But if I interpret his LinkedIn profile, it looks like somebody who did what he was probably thought he was supposed to do, follow the rules, especially looking at his Boy Scout and his volunteer work. And now he's trying to figure out what his next step is. And he's probably right in the middle. He's right in the front. Actually, he's in the front end of that. And I think Karen's right that it's a 2-3 step. So could he find a thing in HR? He probably could. The startup that Mike and Karen talked about, would they appreciate somebody with, yeah, I think it's more his personality is what it, let's be honest, Mike, you and I have both dealt, you know, a number of us with a number of startups. It's personality, attitude, and drive. And yes, they do need to have certain skills, but are you willing to do and dive in whatever it takes to do it, be it HR, empty the trash? And the little I heard,
or jump
at the moment,
in the trash.
Well, empty the trash, and in a startup, jump into the trash. Yes. By the way, I've
got that down.
So, I mean, hey, I'm sort of on his side on that. I've actually found computers and laptops in the trash, so I'm all for dumpster.
It wasn't the trash. It was a trash compactor, which is a little different.
No, I know what it is. I've worked with those, and I know engineering companies, so I know what they so what they got him on was a safety violation, which is BS. It's sort of like a little kid in the school who brings a nail cutter that has a small blade on it, and they expel him for it.
Yeah. But
here's a bigger picture on that, though, is those safety violation things, or any kind of infraction like that, his manager had some discretion on, is this what we're going to use to finally get rid of this dude?
Right.
Or can we say, hey, man, that was absurd, don't do it again?
Right,
It was their final reason to finally get rid of that guy.
And the true question that
right.
Fig needs...
Anybody agree with me here?
Yes.
I agree 100%, Jerry.
I agree, Jerry. And what Fig has to do is two things. Number one, change his photograph. And two, he has to be able to... He's got to be able to answer that question to himself and figure out what was it and what do I need to do to make the message correct, as Karen said. And he needs to just like, and I think the team will, I think this team made some generous offers. And I think that Mike, he's on point when he says, if the guy's hungry enough, or if he is open or driven enough, he'll do what he needs to do to meet Mike and sit down with him and take that, and Karen as well. And that will be, as we all know, the outward actionable behavior that says a great deal about us.
Okay.
Alan, those are all great comments. Let me ask you another question. You and I have both worked a lot in the startup space, and being 42 years old, I almost struggle a little bit culturally sometimes with these mid-20s and early 30s founders.
Yeah.
Do you really think, see, I disagree that he should be targeting the startup space. He's obviously a little bit older than I am. Didn't certainly strike me. I mean, if I was phone interviewing him, didn't certainly strike me as a cultural fit in the startup world. I'd like your comments on that. I mean, do you think a guy like this really should be targeting the startup world, or is it a waste of his time? I think it's a waste of his time.
Let me say it this way, Mike. I'd actually take a step back. Is after he makes his list of, and I also think he needs to look deep inside himself. I don't necessarily say startups, Mike. I agree, probably mid-sized companies, or even once he got his profile and his resume and everything up to speed, to reach out to you, could he work on a contract that you might have for one of your clients, and you'd be very...
Just say that out loud.
Okay. Hold on. If he listens to the after show or the recording, and he's smart enough, he'll ask you about that. And if he does, the simple fact that he asks you about that is drive. But back to your comment, I think what he needs to do, and looking at his profile, hold on, let me just go real quick. He's in a lot of groups. I think he's probably in a lot of the – I think he needs to look at a lot of the groups. And him getting hired by a startup, Mike, or a mid-sized company, I think it's going to be a lot of him finding the right person at the right moment in time that will see whatever they need to see. And, okay, he's got the soft talents I need. I can – okay, and he's got the technical whatever those are skills I need, OFC, you know, EEO or whatever. But that's what it's going to come down to. And he needs to – looking at the groups he's a member of, just a couple of them, he needs to really switch out his groups and then start reaching out to his groups and do active networking and paying attention. But a pure startup with a 20-something, if you were just giving me that, Mike, yeah, I would agree. I don't think he should be targeting it unless they're hiring like absolute crazy, crazy. They're basically taking anybody they can that's living and breathing and finding a place for them. It might be a place for them to get in on a contract and, you know, hit the ground running. And sometimes – you hire somebody that just hits the ground running, goes to 200 miles an hour, and they find out who they are. But the short answer, I agree with you. No.
I have one last question for the group that's here, and Alan just triggered it in my mind.
This guy belongs to a ton of groups. He's director of workforce readiness for the Massachusetts State Council of SHRM. I don't even know what the hell that means, but whatever.
Right.
If this guy's going to all the SHRM meetings and he's as well-networked as he says he is you think he's doing something wrong? I mean, how is that not even prompting interviews?
I think he's spreading himself too thin, and because he can't define what his target is, what kind of position he's looking for, it's almost way he's spinning his wheels in a lot of those places, I think.
And Mike, I would bet that, yes, he's doing something wrong with it, because even the groups and the SHRM and everything, and whatever, I'd love your guys' take on this. He's probably asking the wrong question. He's probably going in saying, I'm looking for a job. And that tends to put people, the listener, a bit on the defensive. But if I were to ask Mike or Karen or whoever, hey, I'd like your opinion, I'd like your suggestions, I'd like your coaching. They know he's looking for a job, but they're more likely to be, oh, you know what? I know that Steve Smith is looking for somebody. Oh, yeah, Fig. Yeah, call Steve Smith. But if you say, I'm looking for a job, that is the message is incorrect. So he needs to be aware of that.
If he could say, I'm really good at doing A, B, and C, and I'm looking for a company that has those kinds of situations, he's going to be more likely to find a match than a straight than networking with a title. Now, if he's really good at, for example, putting together a field training program, he's looking for companies that needs the help with that. Identifying through a problem is going to be more effective for him than identifying through a job, a title as an HR generalist or whatever it is that he's looking for.
Well, good. Final thing. Let's score my first after show with every after show Jerry's ever given. So I give myself a 90 and Jerry a 40.
Yes, this is a good after show. I'm impressed.
Thank you. And I was hoping that we'd have a show with a little more meat, because I really have had a plan for this after show for my first shot at taking over for Jerry. But unfortunately, we didn't have much meat in this show. But I just always thought this after show should be a little more of a discussion, because as we all know, it's very difficult to get a word in edgewise around Animal. He complains that nobody speaks, but then he doesn't let any of us get a word in edgewise. You hear that, Animal?
Oh.
All right, guys, I'm going to get back to work. Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone.
Right. Good Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye now.
We're gonna rock it down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock it down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. We're gonna rock it down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Hey, we're gonna rock it down to Electric Avenue.